The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie has been brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza. Pick up Connie's Frozen Pizza in your local grocer's freezer, like Jewel Osco, which we will be at on Tuesday. The Jewels downtown on Des Plaines. Not in Des Plaines, downtown West Loopish.
Now I'm confused.
On Des Plaines, in the city, Tuesday. Be there. The Connie Frozen Pizza truck will be there too. Connie's Frozen Pizza, real pizzeria flavor, is in the house.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, if you're just getting into your car, a couple of things to go over. First of all, the Sox did win today in a virtual must-win game. They did come up with the big win against the Guardians, 8-2.
Five dongs.
Yeah, they hit home runs. It's what they've been doing here over the last couple of weeks. They're finally hitting with some power. Gavin Sheets started it off with a three-run homer. Vaughn goes back-to-back.
That's what you have to do when you can't hit a cutoff man and you drop pop-ups in the infield. You have to deodorize those mistakes with dongs.
Yeah, so right now it's a three-game lead for the Guardians, four in the loss column. The Guardians play the Twins. They play five times over the next 4 days, and the White Sox go up to Detroit for a three-game set, and they've got to sweep the Tigers. There's that. We talked to Mike Martz about an hour ago, which was a very, very interesting interview. A lot of people think that it was a retraction.
I'm not in that group.
He claims that the video and the soundbite of him talking about Justin Fields was him talking about Trey Lance, and it was packaged and edited incorrectly when it was sent out on Twitter.
I think that explanation is very plausible, considering as well he gave you another example of where they got a little messed up when he was talking about the Eagles and they were showing video of the Cardinals.
Right.
So I'm inclined to take his word for this.
Yes. Yeah, so there was that. If you missed the interview, and he also talked about some old school stuff with the Bears, like about the Greg Olsen stuff. If you want to hear that interview, you can get it on the ESPN Chicago app where you get all your podcasts. A brand new Crosstalk Unhinged also has been dropped this week.
I think Mike Martz actually was more positive than anything about Justin Fields. He's in a good system where he's going to be coached well, dynamic athlete who just has to learn now as a young quarterback to play from the pocket and process things and get rid of the ball quick. I think those are things that a lot of people have talked about.
Kurt Warner included.
Amen.
Almost very similar. Durkin watched the film. Dan Durkin joins us each and every Thursday. He's a former college football player, is great with the tape. Has worked in Chicago for a long, long time. Yesterday, after I did the show up at home, I was able to go to Braxton's baseball practice.
Oh, nice.
It was a 6 o'clock baseball practice.
Dan's his coach, right?
Dan coaches a rival team.
Ooh.
So, sure enough, there are two fields at the same park, at this JC Park. One field is Braxy's team on. Had a good practice from 6 to 7.
Nice.
7 o'clock, the practice ends. All the kids go to the playground. They eat a bunch of sugary snacks.
Perfect.
And they're just having a good time. The sun sets 7:15, 7:20, 7:25. On the other field, the other coach is working his team even after dusk. And who's the head coach of that team?
Dan Durkin.
Putting in the work as always.
He's the Matt Eberflus of Little League Baseball here in the northern suburbs.
Isn't that true, Durkin? You're working the kids.
We're looking for hits there, Sylvie. So, yeah, absolutely. I'm out there with those boys.
The hits principle, not only in football, but in baseball.
Yeah, you know what's so funny? Like, I'm so fortunate to have, coached like the same group for a few years right now. They really don't want to come off the field. So I just have a really good, dedicated bunch that, number one, genuinely enjoys, playing with each other on the field, which is great.
Nice.
And they really like baseball. So it's been nice to keep this core together.
That's awesome. Hey, Dan, a question about what is most impressive to you. Tell me if you agree. 11 rookies on the opening day active roster, three penalties, 24 yards. They turn it over once in a monsoon. The level of discipline for a young team at this particular time has to be something that surprises even those who were even most optimistic.
Yeah, absolutely. What's funny is as I was prepping for this call, I was thinking, you know, some sophomoric humor since, you know, P's and stuff like that tend to come up. But P's were a lot of what I wrote on here. So at the top of the list, penalties, you know, number one, like that to me equates to discipline. The Bears were the more disciplined team. Another P, protecting the ball. The Bears took the ball away twice. They only gave it away once. And then the third was they prioritized their protection plan, just like we talked about last week. They made sure, and, you know, it was leaky at times, but I think for the most part, they wanted to make sure that they were stout up front and they weren't going to expose Justin. So, guys, it was just a really sensible, smart game plan. And I think about we kind of nailed it in a lot of ways last week, saying that the weather might be to their advantage. And, you know, like it came in exactly as the app that Sylvie was looking at predicted. It became a monsoon late in that game, and it made a huge difference. And so when you think about those conditions, what we talked about is if you protect the ball and you can play keep away, you're going to have a puncher's chance late in that game, and that's exactly what happened. So I'd say for everything that went through it, you couldn't have asked for a better start from Matt Eberflus.
Do they have a puncher's chance against the Packers?
I don't think so, because I know for some reason, I when I watched, I was up in Wisconsin actually last Sunday with my family, and I watched that Packers game, and they looked completely out of sorts on both sides of the ball, you know, just from the early, you could not have handed the ball better to Christian Watson, like hit him right in his hands, and so like you could tell Rodgers really never rebounded from that, but they had no answer for how Kevin O'Connell was using motion and how he was able to basically break their coverage by moving Justin Jefferson around. And people were like, why doesn't he just match him with Jaire Alexander? It's like, if you do that, you're compromising your coverage and you're giving the other offensive coordinator, hey, we're playing man all the time. And so like, if you follow him over and you want to double, are you kicking two people with him in motion? So I thought that they got outcoached and they definitely got outplayed. Now, when you think about this to me strikes me as a get well game for the Packers. But the thing that's kind of gnawing in the back of my head to say this might be closer than people think is the Packers offensive line was terrible last week, and they had so many opportunities in short yardage and just couldn't push it through. So I think that it's going to be much closer than people are anticipating, but I just don't see it. I think that Aaron Rodgers has some sort of like Svengali effect on the Bears and their defense over the years, and I think that they will prevail, but I'm not going to say that this is going to be a walk-off for the Packers.
Dan, give us a couple of things specifically that you saw on tape that you were very encouraged by, and give us some things that you saw on tape that you believe strongly that they need to work on and get better at.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, defensively, what I found so interesting was the Bears never rushed five or more in the entire game. Not one time did they bring five or more rushers. And so that was really interesting to me. But, you know, that we talked a little bit about this before, Tom, where we're saying, look, the reason that defenses do that specifically with young quarterbacks is they want to keep seven sets of eyes on the quarterback and make him play from the pocket. So the Bears felt exactly the same way about Trey Lance as many people felt about how teams might counter Justin Fields. Now, Eberflus got a little bit more creative in the second half. He used some more twists and some more stunts, and he used what people call exchange pressures, where basically Al-Kadim Muhammad dropped off on one, and they sent a linebacker, I think it was Nicholas Morrow. They started to twist a little bit more up front, but what they were really doing was forcing Lance to stay in the pocket, and they were squeeze rushing him. So I think that really smart to not expose your secondary, which in some instances, you know, is lesser. Obviously, Deebo Samuel is an excellent player, but they never compromised their coverage, which I thought was great. And I did like how they started to change their defensive fronts in the second half in this regard as well. They were bringing their defensive tackles basically to both of the A-gaps. And the reason that they were doing that is they were trying to create a single on one side of the line of scrimmage or the other. And so by rushing on both shoulders of the center, the guard's going to have to help. So now you're occupying two on one side. So you're freeing up, you know, Gibson or Quinn or Dominique Robinson, who was outstanding on single blocks. And I really think that they trusted their speed on the outside to beat the 49ers, and it did. So what struck me is a team that was incredibly well prepared, specifically on the defensive side of the ball. And the last thing that really stood out to me was how Eddie Jackson baited Trey Lance to basically throw that ball. So the Bears were running man robber. So when you're rushing four and you're dropping seven, you have the luxury of what are you going to do with your extra two, because there's like five eligibles. They played Brisker deep, and then they let Eddie Jackson kind of sit. He was like that lurker, you know, over there over the middle. And they said that they knew from that formation that it was going to be like that arrow route. So the guy that was the number one ran out, and then he came back in. Eddie played like he was looking up the middle, and I think that that got Lance comfortable throwing the ball. And then you just saw as soon as he, you know, as soon as he broke, as soon as his hands came off it, Eddie jumped that route, and he was right there. So this team was so well prepared for this game. So kudos to Eberflus and his team. The thing that was a little concerning to me was the timing on offense, particularly in the first half, just did not look right. And that the scary part about that is those are the plays that you script, and those are the plays that you really drill and rep on, you know, throughout the course of the week. So the linemen weren't in the right spots, or the running back was getting ahead of them. So I think that there is a lot to clean up on the offensive side of the ball when they couldn't execute small things like simple screens and stuff like that. But all in all, I think that defensively, Eberflus, Allen Williams, hats off to those guys for just an excellent game plan. And I think that Getsy, you know, weathered the storm, you know, literally and figuratively. And I really think that they battled in that second half of that game.
It was good use of a phrase right there. Dan Durkin joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie and ESPN 1000. We'll get to Fields because I know you're fired up about that. There were a couple of things, though, that we talked about yesterday when I saw you, and they're both on defense, so it transitions well. First of all, you mentioned Dominique Robinson. You are so high on him, not just because of the sack and a half. What do you see, and what do you think the future could be for Dominique Robinson?
Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, it was really cool to hear a young kid who's been playing defense now for 2 years talk about, hey, these are the advanced scouting things that I was looking at, you know, from Mike McGlinchey. Was he oversets. So what does overset mean? That means that a guy doesn't want to get a beat to the outside with speed, so his tendency is going to be jump or to accelerate his kick slide. He's going to kick slide more aggressively to the outside. And if you look at that, I cut it up and I put it on YouTube, you can see the gap between him and the guard, and you can see that overset actually happen. The rest of the San Francisco 49ers offensive line, there's a, you know, the gap is about equidistant between everybody, but then there's this huge gap and the B gap between the right tackle and the guard. He knew that, so he kind of played him. He took a step up, and then he swiped and went back inside. So he used that overset to his advantage to say, I'm not going to rush with the speed to the outside. I'm actually going to swipe and beat this guy inside. So that was really impressive. And then the other was he was paying attention to Trent Williams and how Trent Williams gets himself ready in his pass set, where he basically clicks his heel twice. He's like, that was his trigger to know that I don't have to worry about the run here based on what he's shown on film. He has this tendency, and I cut it up and put it in slow motion. It's almost like a batter getting ready, you know, in the batter's box. He digs his toe in like twice, and he picked up on that. And so now he knows, I'm not worried about having to be a run defender or a force defender. I'm worried about rushing the passer there. So really, really nice preparation for him. But what was interesting is they played him inside a lot, and they didn't play him just inside at the end of the game when they were just trying to get their best pass rushers out there. They played him at three technique earlier in that game. And so now I think about, well, where did Eberflus just come from? He came from the Colts, and the Colts acquired DeForest Buckner, who was the guy who was kind of like a positionless defensive lineman coming out of Oregon. So might the Bears have the same type of, you know, plan or development plan in mind for Dominique Robinson to say, do we want to try this dude out at three technique? Because he's really strong and he's really fast and he's only getting bigger. And he's got really long arms, which I know Eberflus is really keen on in terms of just a player profile. So I'm very interested to see if that is just something that they did for this game or if he starts to get worked a little bit more inside. Because you think about the advantage of somebody that quick and that strong, guards typically have shorter arms, so he can really get on blocks easier to keep his pads clean. So, you know, excellent debut for him, you know, for a guy who's only been playing defense for 2 years.
If there was one thing you were down on, it was Kyler Gordon's performance. And do you believe because of it, Rodgers is going to target him?
It was Gordon in pass coverage, because I think that Gordon was good as a force defender, and the force defender is the guy that needs to come up and basically turn the run back inside. So he played well as a run defender, but when you're playing in the nickel, which is an area that Rodgers has picked on the Bears over the last couple of years, you know, Duke Shelley and the other people that they've run through there, he's really picked on them. They would line up Devontae Adams a lot from the slot, just knowing that the Bears are deficient from a personnel perspective there. Now, I think Kyler Gordon is, you know, substantially better than the cornerback I just referenced and the others that they've played there for the past couple of years. But he was really late to flip his hips on a pass to, I think the guy's last name is Jennings, on the 49ers. They were in man, and he was still in his back pedal when this guy was like 3 or 4, you know, yards behind him. So on a nicer day, that's probably like a 60-yard touchdown pass. So you just need to realize, like, look, you're stacked. That guy's on top of you. You need to turn and run with him. You can't just back pedal anymore. So he had a couple coverage lapses. But as a force defender, I think he was good in the run game. But you do worry about somebody like Aaron Rodgers picking up on those things in film and saying, hey, we need to run a wheel from the slot and just get this guy, you know, maybe a step behind, and I can float one up there, because those are the types of things that I guarantee you they're circling in their playbook this week.
How do you think the Packers will attack them overall? Because you look at the numbers, I mean, the Niners ran it for 176 yards, almost 5 yards per clip. Obviously, when Elijah Mitchell goes out, it kind of changes the approach. But do you think the Packers are more likely to load things up and run Dillon and Jones at them than they are to throw it 40 times?
I do. I think that this game is going to line up to where, when I watched the Packers last week, I think that they thought they were just going to be able to go and play spread and Aaron was going to be able to distribute the ball to these guys. Those young receivers are not ready in Green Bay. They're not ready at all. So I think that they're just going to have to go back to basics here. So getting back to Dillon and AJ and Aaron Jones and getting them the ball earlier on those stretch plays, because I think the struggle for Aaron when LaFleur first got there was he just wanted to drop back and throw the ball all the time. But once he realized how much easier a competent run game makes his reads in the passing game, it really was kind of like a light bulb moment for him as a quarterback. So I absolutely anticipate them getting back to, you know, more traditional inline tight end sets, maybe even two back backfields, and then just running outside zone and running some inside zone against the Bears. And then you create those really easy, like, all we need you to do is run a flood here. We're going to high load this guy and just make it a little bit more simple for the receivers to go out there and actually execute. So I do worry about the Packers, you know, being able to hit some pretty big plays off of play action this week, because there were plenty of opportunities in that game against San Francisco. Trey Lance just couldn't make the throws. Yeah,
definitely. If you flip it around, Dan, like, when I watched the film, obviously, David Montgomery, there was not a lot of space. 17 carries for 26 yards. It just, as you said, I think you described it earlier, looked very disjointed. It looked a little better in the second half when Khalil Herbert was getting the football. He may be a little more patient, but it looked like there was more space for him to run as well. When you watch the film, do you believe Herbert is a better option than Montgomery, or it was just circumstances that led to one guy being more effective than the other?
You know, what was interesting is like the pattern that they used him. So it was two series for Montgomery and then one series for Herbert the entire game. So like that's just how it worked out, where people are like, oh, Herbert was in there for the goal line carry. That's just how it worked. It just so happened that on that particular drive, it was a Herbert drive and they got down there. So I wouldn't read too much into, you know, who it was that actually got the touch there at that point in time. But the thing I noticed between the two of them was with David, he has a tendency to go lateral a little bit too much. And, you know, he's a guy that likes to do, you know, some jump cuts, and he's good at it, don't get me wrong. But in those conditions and just like the timing with the offensive line, it was not helping him, you know, press the hole as quickly as he could. The thing I like about Khalil Herbert, he kind of glides to the line of scrimmage. You know, he's like a little bit more patient. But once he realizes where he wants to go, he was pressing the hole vertical. And I think that that's what they're going to need to do. So I think that there were some timing things going on. And I think David just needs to try and get a little bit more north-south rather than east and west when he gets the ball. But flipping it, they're going to need both of these guys, because you guys, I think, both realize and both saw we talked about this a lot in the offseason. The play action has to be the foundation for this passing game. Justin is not ready to beat a team exclusively from the pocket. And so even when it gets ugly, they're going to need to maintain that commitment to the run game, because what you do in that, you're compromising the middle of the defense. You're forcing the linebackers to think run first. And so when you do have play action, you're creating voids at that second level, that area right behind. They're vacating the zone where you can get a guy in the crosser. You can get a tight end up the seam. So I think that they, just like the Packers, you know, the Packers are going to be able to break from it a little bit earlier because they have Aaron Rodgers. I think the Bears really need to be steadfast with their run game this week to try and keep the game close and make those play action shots a little bit more live than it would be in other situations.
Dan, before we let you go, we had Mike Martz on last hour. He clarified what the podcast sound was. At least some believe that he's telling the truth. Well, Waddle and I believe him that it was edited poorly and he was talking more about Lance. But the point is everyone is on edge about Fields and what people think of him. Mike Lombardi came out yesterday on VSiN, and we want to play you some of that for the listeners coming up here in about 10 minutes. But you looked at me yesterday when I saw you, and you said, Silvy, Fields is going to be a star. Explain why you think that.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he has every physical trait that you want. He's a leader, and I think that makes such a big difference. So when you have the physical component, you have the drive to get better, and then, you know, he has cleaned up so many things in 1 year in terms of his footwork and his delivery. So the leap he has made in 1 year to say, I'm going to get better with my feet and I'm going to tighten up my delivery in one off season is incredible. Number one, it's incredible, a testament to who he is as an athlete, but it's also a testament to who he is as a person as far as looking inside. Like, look, I can't do this long, you know, wind up for every one of my throws. I'm just going to get picked off. I can't do it that way. So he made a huge change mechanically. But when you think about the cast of characters that he's working with, this isn't the best group that they can put around him. So now just imagine him with guys who can create more separation on their own and people who are going to actually dictate coverage a little bit more. There's zero doubt in my mind that with the right infrastructure of players around him, and if they can keep Getsy around for a few years, Justin's going to be one of the better. He's going to be in that top 10 conversation for the next few years, and I think he has star quality after that. There's nobody that can convince me otherwise.
How long do you believe it'll take for him to become more pocket friendly or more comfortable in the pocket?
It's clearly not there yet, so I'm not going to say it's going to happen this year, because there are certain instances, you just go back and watch it from this past game, he still takes too many hits in the pocket, and you need to eliminate that. He needs to stop taking those, and what that comes down to is he needs to throw with a little bit more anticipation. Like they ran a spot route and the corner was open, but he hesitated. It's like, dude, you just have to rip it in that situation. You have the high-low that you want. They settled on the spot route. You need to rip it as soon as it's there. The guy may not be out of his break, but you just need to rip that
ball.
Dan,
do you think that he's still trying to process the fact that what's open at the collegiate level is entirely different than what's open at the professional level, and that just takes reps?
Correct. And the other thing is, at the collegiate level, you can play pick and stick. So you can wait and see until somebody comes open, and then you can throw it. You can't do that in the NFL. Windows don't come open right when you see them. You can throw people open. So I think the more he learns that he can throw people open, he's going to get better. And so there's another play where he completed it, but the pass to Byron Pringle, if he lays that ball out like a yard up rather than a yard to the sideline, that's a touchdown, because there was only one safety at the top of the field. He makes a move on him in the open field, and it's game over. And so there's just those moments where I know he's going to go back and see that. It's like, oh, man, I totally left points and yards on the field there. But, yes, for a college quarterback with his skills, he knew he was faster than 95% of the people on the field, so his legs can always bail him out. That's not the case here, and you have to make plays from the pocket. So I think that the biggest thing in terms of his maturation is to trust the design. As long as his receiver is running to the spot that he's supposed to be, let the ball go before you actually make contact, like eye contact with him, because that's how the elite do it. They throw the ball. You look at Justin Herbert, another young quarterback that I'm just fascinated with, who throws the ball before his receivers look, and they turn around and it's just like on their face. And so he needs to become that type of anticipatory thrower, and I know he can be.
Great stuff, Dan. We always appreciate it. Thank you. We'll talk next
week. Thanks, Dan.
Have a good night, guys.
There you go. Dan Durkin is really good. Someone tweeted, and they said it well. They said about you realize when you – oh, here it is, from Taco. Love that name, too.
Hey, Taco.
Nothing like listening to Dan Durkin and realizing you know nothing about football. Like, he breaks it down, though, where he can understand.
Yeah.
Really good film stuff. Wanna watch the film. He'll give us some of his thoughts. And wait till you hear. There's another Bears hater out there, and he is comparing Justin Fields to this guy. And you're not going to be happy with the comp. It's coming up next.
This is Live Golf, a global tournament coming to Rich Harvest Farms. Louder, faster, better, shorter. 48 players, including Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau, Sergio Garcia, and Ian Poulter. 12 teams, unrelenting action, shotgun starts, fire finishes with music, drinks, and entertainment. Just announced special live performances from Jason Derulo and St. Lucia. Did I get that right? This is golf as you've never seen it. This is Live Golf. Don't blink. Join them September 16th through the 18th for the first Live Golf Invitational in Chicago. Tickets selling fast. Get yours today at livegolf.com. That's livegolf.com.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Silva on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Get you ready for football tonight as well. Thursday night football. Going to be a great game.
You going to make it home in time for kickoff?
No, I've got an event in the South Loop.
You're going to get the Salukis fired up, aren't you?
Yeah, the Salukis takeover.
I like you wearing the Saluki colors.
The maroon and the button down. Got to wear a sport coat.
You doing it like a big dog tonight?
I always do it like a big dog, yeah. We're playing a Northwestern on Saturday, so doing a Chicago takeover. A lot of events in town.
Nice.
Really cool stuff. So we're going to be in the South Loop at the... I think it's the Firehouse is the name of the restaurant. It's in the old restaurant that Backdraft was shot in.
Oh, nice.
Where the it used to be for it's called the Firehouse because it used to be a firehouse.
And Tyler, do you have any Tyler, do you have any idea what Backdraft is?
No idea.
It was a movie about Chicago firefighters.
Were some of the Baldwins in that?
Yes, yes. It was
a good movie.
Very old.
I think it was filmed in 1989.
Let the record show that I wasn't making any sort of like reference to today. I was just speaking to where I was going. Like today when I heard Cap talk about that he's not a TV guy and that he doesn't need to know who shot JR.
Who did shoot JR?
I have no clue.
I forgot.
Because I was 9 years old when it was on in 1980.
Do you remember though?
Wait, so we're not talking about Jeremy Roenick?
No.
Okay.
JR's fine. Do you remember it was Dallas and then was it Knott's Landing?
I never watched CBS except for football in 60 minutes.
Come on, Joan Collins and
never watched
Joan Van Ark.
Nicolette Sheridan on Knott's Landing.
Oh, man, I gotta go.
I was 12. Very important time in my life.
I'm telling you. Soaps. I was significantly older than you, but Friday night television.
It
was
resonated.
It Thursday night?
No, it was Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Now we got football on Thursday nights.
While we're on this topic, by the way, Kappa gave us a little bit of insight today on some stuff that goes on behind the scenes at the house.
My wife is got a little Danny in her.
Yeah, and really?
I heard that and immediately sent a text and said, we got to have that.
My wife is...
We got to have that.
Got a little Danny in her. Yeah, really?
Get a little Danny in her. Just a little.
Then he started talking about watching in the corner, which is just weird.
Did they get into that then, too?
What? Cap said he watched in the corner. Like, I think he was trying to play it off, but it was a weird place to take it. Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
That is quite weird. Quite weird. So anyway.
You got to clean the blueberries off your lips before you talk to the kids. Tonight.
Someone said in the Twitch chat, too, earlier, Sylvie's not eating blueberries today. It's because my whole eating schedule's off because of the White Sox game. Yeah. My whole schedule
I just don't want you
off,
to see, give me a Saluki!
You won't be able
and
to...
You got like, blueberries all over your face.
With the red wine, you won't be able to tell the difference.
That's
so,
good point.
Yeah.
I like it.
Should we take a call or two? You want me to play the Mike Lombardi now?
It's up to you. I think we all get way too gassed up about what other people say about our quarterback, but have at it.
This is going to be a process here. This is every week to week through a developing quarterback. We told you it's going to get bumpy.
Of course.
It's going to be turbulent.
Could go half to half for crying out loud.
Yes. You hope at the end of this that there's a happy landing and he lands.
It's a happy landing.
Yes. Right? He lands. It would be a happy ending for us all. Get that towel that Annie Agar was talking about while watching Justin Fields.
excessive use of a towel. What? Excessive use of a towel. Wow, I thought that only happened to Bears fans when they watched Justin do anything remotely cool.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, you hope at the end of this whole process, he is that top 10 guy, as Durkin said. But everyone was up in arms about what Mike March was saying, and we still don't exactly know, but he still insists that he likes Justin, and he was talking more about Trey Lance. He was talking about Trey Lance, not more about him. We'll play you some of that. This is Mike Lombardi. He's on VSiN. Mike has been a guy in the league in front offices for many, many years. Worked with Bill Walsh. He'll tell you every second of the day that he worked with Bill Walsh.
Belichick, too,
right? Belichick, Cleveland, Raiders. Wasn't he back in Cleveland recently?
He may have been.
In one of those front offices?
I worked with him in L.A. at the NFL Network. So he's been out of the game for a while.
So this is not going to be a good comp that you're going to like. But this is him talking about Justin Fields.
I turned the tape on yesterday or Monday afternoon, and I wrote this for VSiN before Mike said it. Before Mike said it, I wrote, the worst quarterback in that game wasn't Lance. It was Fields. They were both bad, but Fields was worse. Fields can't read. He can't read the progression. It's one look and go. And if he can make a play like a high school play where he scrambles out and throws the ball to Pettis across the field, God bless, there you go. Mm-hmm. But Bear fans, you didn't upgrade yourself from Trubisky. You gave it all up. Oh, Ryan Pace's gift to you, besides a bad offensive line, is perhaps not having another quarterback. Now, they can come out and Eberflus can talk about how proud he was of him and all the things he did. No. I'm with Mike Martz on this.
Well, yeah. Mike Martz actually clarified that he's...
There are a lot of people on Bears Twitter who believe that Bears Twitter got to him and made him flip
There's
his...
There's a lot of people on Bears Twitter that are angry in general.
And that him being on in Chicago made him flip his opinion. I don't think Mike Martz cares about anybody.
I don't think
anybody.
He's a rat's ass about any of you.
Like fans or former players or head coaches or former front office guys.
I agree with
He's that's why him and Jada, that's why they didn't fight because neither of them care.
So if that's the case, do you think he's now in San Francisco telling those fans something different? No, he told you with us that he just got off the phone with the people out in San Francisco, told them they were in trouble.
Yeah. There's no way that you can say watching Trey Lance and you watched it, even though Fields has a lot to work. Well, we can't be in denial. There is a lot of work that Fields still needs, but there's no way you can watch the tape and say that Trey Lance was better than Justin Fields.
I watched the tape, and like as I told you yesterday, the first thing that came to my mind, and I stopped after the half, not because I was any other reason than I had to go run an errand. The first thought I had was, oh my God, I can't believe our favorite football team won that game. But it's a testament to the coaching staff and to the players themselves that, you know, even through a very difficult half where, look, the 49ers could have easily been up 14-0, easily, maybe more. They were running the ball. Lance overthrows a surefire touchdown. Bears do some good stuff in terms of taking the ball away. But the 49ers in the first half had established the run. Defensively, they shut down everything the Bears wanted to do. Everything. Everything was done. The first half of that game felt like Matt Nagy times five minus the undisciplined play. Like, they were disciplined. They didn't make a lot of mental mistakes or everything else. But nothing they did. The 49ers were significantly better than them pretty much on all fronts in the first half of that game. But for them to have, first of all, it speaks to being young and just not caring. And that's a good thing, not a bad thing. I think their quarterback's a tremendous leader. I think the coach has got them dialed in the right way. You let a team hang around the way that the good kid talked about earlier, and eventually that team may just go ahead and beat you. The first half was a disaster. The first 10 minutes of the third quarter was disastrous as well. There was nothing going on. And then Justin makes a play and breaks contain and throws that ball to Pettis, and the entire game changed. Like, for whatever reason, it I think what it did is it confirmed this team's thought that, hey, we're in this, despite the fact that they were getting beat on all fronts. They still thought they were in it. That one play by their quarterback, their leader, changed their mindset. Then the 49ers became they became a group that was suffering from some serious self-inflicted wounds. The Bears got some confidence. The coach got him out on the corner. A lot of what Justin did was out on the edge, being a good athlete, being smart with the football, and they found a way to win that game. He is going to scare the hell out of people on the edge. I think he's more accurate when he's on the run. He's more confident. He's more comfortable on the run. They do a nice job getting him on the edge. He's like the thought that Trey Lance is a better, and some people thought he was a better athlete than Justin Fields is twice the athlete that Trey Lance is, just pure athlete. And I don't think, if you want to dispute that, I think you're high. Justin Fields is just a better athlete than Trey Lance. On the edge, Justin scares everybody. But if you have to force him to play from the pocket, and he's still learning. It's just, it comes with the territory. That's why I always told you that his best throw of the 2021 season was a throw he made to Cole Kmet in Pittsburgh. You just trust the route. You trust your teammate. You have to throw it. That route's open in the NFL. You're in the pocket. What he did in Cleveland, in the preseason game where Kurt Warner showed you.
Right.
He got back, hit his foot, and sticks the 12-yard hook route. Or he sits back in the pocket and sticks that corner route. Now, you may say that a frontline defense may eventually pick that ball off. Well, if you've got a starting defense, maybe Justin doesn't make that read. So those are examples of him playing from the pocket that give you, the hope that, yes, this is all going to click. But over the course of time, look, what has he started? 11 games, 12 games in the league?
Not a lot.
Like, on the edge again. Like, he's going to scare you. From the pocket, he's got a lot of work to do the way that most of these young quarterbacks are. So,
and none of it was building block materials from last year. So though he did start X amount of games, none of it mattered because as Martz, that's why, there was some really good info there. Like, Martz explained to you why last year Nagy was so bad.
Because it changed every week. There was no foundation for what you were trying to do. You also factor in whether it's Lance or it's Justin as well. Like, those are some of the worst conditions any quarterback's ever going to play in. So, playing on a fast field is going to help both of those guys. But I came away from that game watching the film, and the things that I thought exactly like Dan said. Gordon had a tough game in coverage, but Brisker and Gordon are very good in run support. I thought Roquan Smith found his legs in the second half, played much better. I thought Tevin Jenkins showed that he's nasty and strong. I thought you saw from your quarterback that he's resilient, he's a great leader, and he's an athlete, like as good an athlete as there is in the league. I thought there's some really, and that this team never stops pulling on the same end of the rope. They're focused, they play hard. They may get overwhelmed at times, but in most instances, they don't look like they're a team that is prone to beating themselves. So, I thought there was, watched the first half of the film and I was like, hell, is it? That's why I asked you on Monday when I came in, did it look as bad from your couch as, because when I was sitting in the,
yes,
I think it, but when
but
I saw
it, didn't panic because I just didn't want to jump down their throat.
Well, but I just, sitting in the stands, you have no idea really. That's why I don't think you get a firm feel for exactly how good or how bad things look. So it was kind of eye-opening for
me. It's why I can't wait tomorrow to talk more about what Bears fans, what their realistic expectation is for this team. Because I remember after that Pittsburgh game that I had high hopes that they would build on that second half and they would take it to the next level against Baltimore. And we would see that as a building block. And it never happened. I don't want them to start anew against Green Bay and not build on what they did in the second half. I'd like to see them come out. Look, I have realistic expectations. I'm not expecting 20 more points in the first half, but I don't want to see that offense stall for another half. Yeah. And I want them to be competitive in Green Bay. So we'll discuss that more coming up tomorrow. Abdallah's going to be on all show today. White Sox did win, keeping their hopes alive for the division. Long way to go for them. They've got a lot of work to do, but they needed to get today, and they did win today. We'll crosstalk with Abdallah coming up next.
This hour is brought to you by NJ Diet. NJ Diet contractually guarantees that you'll lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. Go to NJDiet.com or call them at 855-5-NJ-DIET.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Abdallah's here in studio in the old National Bank studio.
Hi, Abdallah.
Hello.
We were just talking in the break, then I want to get to the Amazon Prime game. But is this true? I didn't know this last week. Is third down noise gone? Did it go?
I didn't hear the siren. Nagy? Well, no, listen, third down noise is a state of mind, guys.
Yeah,
third down noise
state of being.
Is, yeah, I always look third
life.
Down noise,
the
second down noise.
The
siren, siren was gone.
The
I did not hear
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, you know why? We have to wait till game two, because in that weather, people might have thought it was actually a tornado.
Oh, that's true.
So let's wait.
Well, it's interesting because I was telling you guys at the break as well. They shot off some fireworks before the game, and it was like boom, 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 boom. Okay, kickoff.
But couldn't you see Matt Eberflus being like, "All right, he's going." Like he's very Like, he seems like very by the book in everything that he
meticulous.
Does, right?
Yeah.
And couldn't you see, like, hey, we've got this, we do this bear raid, sorry, like, get this plank out of here.
We don't need a bear raid. But I mean, just like, maybe it was, you know, abbreviated because of the weather. I don't know if they do it all the time. Maybe it was just because it was the first game of the season, but it was like, hey, fireworks, ba-boom, boom, boom, boom.
I think they do that every
And then it was over.
Every game.
But it was like.
What, you wanted, like, a 4th of July fireworks display?
This isn't a Little League football game. This is the home opener for the Bears.
Fireworks is supposed to be like just the little appetizer
they
before
shouldn't
the
be doing fireworks.
Game.
It's a day game. You can't.
Wait,
see
but
them.
If you're gonna do it, give me the whole thing. You
give
know,
me some
not
fire.
Just yeah.
Give me some pyro.
Listen,
you're indoors in Arlington Heights. You'll get
well,
that.
No, because then I can't see the field for a quarter with the
we'll have vents.
Smoke.
We'll have vents that it goes
yeah,
out.
Oh, we'll have good vents.
We'll have vents,
or maybe not.
We forgot the vents.
Oh, hell, we didn't put the vents
in. You know that's going to happen.
Everyone's. Are you telling me we built a $4 billion facility that didn't pass fire codes?
They've got the window units for the air conditioning.
Open up the windows, Tad. George, open the windows up. We got too much smoke.
You know what? Air conditioning vents, cost prohibitive.
We've got Amazon Prime of Thursday Night Football. Last week it was on national TV. This is the first game. We going to get people complaining?
Yes. That's
not
why
being
I,
able to find it?
That's why I audibly ughed. Because that's what you're going to get.
Don't you just go home and you grab your Xfinity voice remote and go, play Chargers versus Kansas City, and it just comes on your television.
But is it free on Prime? Or do
no,
you have
you
to
have,
Prime,
to have Prime?
Yeah.
Well, Amazon
you have to be
Prime.
An Amazon Prime.
No, but Yahoo had games.
Yeah, like Apple TV
like
for the
Apple
MLB
TV.
Games. You don't have to have Apple TV.
Peacock is free.
Right. Peacock is free for some of it.
What's
Peacock.
Free?
Peacock. The cock.
What?
Yes. Yes, he's right.
Yeah.
What about Peacock Premium, like cock premium?
Well, there's no ads.
I do not have Peacock Premium.
No. Peacock
I just
Plus?
Have regular Peacock.
Trying to get Peacock.
Yeah, regular.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I've not purchased.
You peon! Remove yourself from the studio!
I have everything except that. I have Hulu, I have Amazon Prime, I have Netflix.
You should see me
Paramount.
Trying to...
Paramount.
You should see. You guys would laugh your ass off watching me trying to get the Apple TV on and to work. It is like watching your grandfather's grandfather scoot around the Apple on my tele, whatever it is.
He's
you
got
should
literally
see
an Apple on his TV.
Yes,
you know coming
you
out of it.
Apple.
They need something.
You should
see
it. Play
it's
football.
The most. It's the most.
Play baseball.
It's
Apple.
The most hideous thing you've ever
you
seen.
You know what the simple solution for that is, right? We've had this technology for 30, 40 years. I don't know. You guys tell me when this happened.
Clap on.
Lights came
clap
on.
Clap off. Clap on, clap off the clapper.
Why can't you just walk into your living room and go, and that Apple TV
this
turns right on?
This probably won't shock you. That may be attached somewhere in my house.
Clapper?
Yeah, probably. It probably is.
Next is, I've fallen and I can't get up.
Well, that's in a few years.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe. All right. Abdal, what do you got coming up?
Oh, and well, no show tomorrow night because of White Sox baseball. So it is an all calls Thursday night. Final preview of Bears and Packers. We've got the Fat Jack. We've got Matt Bowen.
Ooh, Fat some, Jack
you
was
wanna,
spot on.
Fat Jack was
picks.
On fire last week. And I'll tell you, Matt Bowen, you want to get some nerdy football, some in-depth into the trenches? Matt Bowen.
Dan Durkin's our nerd. Yeah. Matt Bowen can be your nerd.
That is a true nerd off. It is nerd day.
They're fabulous in their breakdown.
I got to tell you, every day on this station is nerd day. There's plenty of us to go around.
Yeah, there is.
There's
yeah.
quite a few of us.
Yeah.
All right, we're back tomorrow for full ride tomorrow, okay? Adala coming up next, thanks to Tyler Aki and Jeff Meller. Mike March, really good. If you missed the interview or anything you may have missed, check it out on the ESPN Chicago app. Dan Durkin as well. And we also had Mark Tauscher, the former Green Bay Packer. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Thursday night.